Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Gladys Pyle was a woman of firsts in politics and in government. For today's Images of the Past, we learn more about Gladys Pyle with veteran broadcaster from Huron, Chuck Anderson. Hey, Chuck, welcome back.
Hi, Lori. Good to be with you this morning, as I am now starting my third season with South Dakota Public Broadcasting and my third year with you.
Nice. And the series is called Personalities with Chuck Anderson. You can find it on our website, sdpb.org/images of the past, and go down to that last column. There is probably the quickest way to find all of Chuck's conversations with us here. Also joining us on the phone, Rachel Farrell. She is current director of the Gladys Pyle House and Museum in Huron. Rachel, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
All right, Chuck, let's start with you a little bit about the sort of the legacy of Gladys Pyle. Tell us, for those who don't really know the broadness of her career in politics and government, who exactly she was.
Well, Gladys, when I first met her, it was at a book signing party in 1985. She would have been 94 years old at the time. And what a lady. Man, I'll tell you, she handled the book signing. Nobody interrupted her. She had questions coming and going at her. But she was enormously well-disciplined. She started off as a rather humble type of individual. She went to college. She taught high school for 5 years. Went out to help her brother, who was proofing up a homestead out north of Belle Fourche. And his wife had tuberculosis, and they had a little daughter. So there was four of them in this, what they called a shanty, in a 12-by-14 shanty. And one of the ladies that I interviewed said this was her transition of politics. After she left the shanty, she came back to Huron, started a political career that just spanned all the way through her entire life.
How unusual was it, because she was a first for many things because of her gender, how unusual was it for a woman in politics to sort of do the things that Gladys Pyle did, Chuck?
Well, one thing, I learned this in my research with her, I didn't realize that women weren't allowed to serve on juries in South Dakota until 1947.
Wow.
Well, isn't that something?
Yeah.
And she and her mother was a great leader in the suffrage, the women's suffrage movement, but Gladys was really instrumental in getting the women to the forefront so they didn't have to stay home and just have one career.
So what do we know about her sort of starting, you know, in the 20s to campaign for the South Dakota House of Representatives? That has to be an astonishing attempt.
Well, she was an astonishing woman,
yeah.
And the more I learn about this lady, the more I think we should have great big statues of her around South Dakota. She worked really hard. I think you'll find that with any of the people you interview, that the reason they succeed is they were willing to really work hard. And this lady, she never married. She put her entire direction towards solving women's issues. And man, what a cause.
Yeah. Rachel, let's talk a little bit about visitors to the House and Museum, and we'll talk about the facility itself here in just a moment. But when visitors, do they come in really not knowing much about her and sort of having the same reaction that Chuck and I are having? We're like, what? She did what? Is that a sort of a universal reaction to her accomplishments and her personality?
I think so. We do have some people that come in knowing quite a bit about her, but for the most part, we have people that come in and are like, this woman did what? And she changed history, and she changed just the way we look at women's rights and things like that in South Dakota.
Yeah, she's close to becoming, you know, she loses the race for the Republican nomination for governor. She loses that, but that's 1930. She almost became the Republican nominee for governor in 1930. That seems astonishing.
It really is. You know, and it was unfortunately through some behind the closed doors work that she lost that nomination.
Chuck, we're going to talk a little bit about the house and the museum, but let's hear, if you go to the website with Personalized with Chuck Anderson, you can hear some clips of some interviews Chuck did. And here he is sort of walking through the house and asking questions about what exactly is in the space.
I walked in the front door and I came into a hall, and that's beautiful open staircase. And where does that go up to? That would have been their bedrooms upstairs?
There are five bedrooms upstairs, and it's all golden oak. The woodwork in here is golden oak, and it's a beautiful staircase, hand-carved and everything.
And if you turn to the left in the ante hall as you come in, what room do we enter?
We go into the parlor.
And are those pretty well authentic pieces of furniture that's in there?
Oh, everything's authentic in here. Everything was Gladys's. Those are the family's. Furniture.
All of this was Gladys's, really?
This is all the family furniture in here, yes.
I thought maybe you had brought in some items.
This is all her stuff in here.
So the table, this oak table that we're having our interview at right now, would have been an original table?
With five leaves that go in it, too. Oh. Yes, it was. And she had sold it when she had renters upstairs. Quite a few years to help with the upkeep of the house, and she sold this table. And when it was to become an historical home, the gentleman volunteered to give it back to her.
Oh, that's great!
And he did in 1974 when it became an historical home.
Just an excerpt from a 1994 interview Chuck Anderson did with some folks who were connected with the Gladys Pyle Museum and House. Rachel, tell us a little bit about how this home became a museum.
Well, what had happened was when Gladys needed to go into the nursing home back around 1985, 86, the house went up on the auction block. And it was purchased by one of the directors of the Dakota Land Museum in 1987, donated to the Dakota Land Museum, and has become a national historic site. It's on the National Historic Register, and that's how it's come to be a museum. A lot of the artifacts that came from family members, have come from family members, I should say, and we're very lucky to have the collection that we do.
Mm. Chuck, not only is she the first South Dakota woman elected to the U.S. Senate, but she's the first woman to address a national political convention. Talk a little bit about how her influence really extends beyond South Dakota.
That's right. She had a wonderful national appeal, and I think it's probably because that her parents were very vocal in not only the suffrage but the temperance movements. I do want to share one story with you, though, quickly, to show you the kind of the humor that she had. It's the shaving mug story. That's what I like to call it. She would get her hair cut in the Senate barber shop, and of course it was all men. She was the only woman in the Senate. And one day the barber asked her if she wanted a shaving mug, and she said, "I want everything that men have." And that goes to show you how she thought. She had a purpose, she had a direction, and in the national level, she had a lot of people that had a great deal of respect for her. I think that, as one of the ladies said in the interview, Gladys was in this shanty out in Belfouche, out in the countryside, she went through a transition of politics, and that's when she changed from local thinking to a national level.
Rachel, let's just have some fun speculating. If she were alive and starting her political career today, what do you think she'd be capable of? Is she electable today, do you think?
I think she is. Gladys, first and foremost, was a lady. I've heard her described not necessarily as elegant, but as stately. Mm-hmm. I do think she would do well.
Yeah. Chuck, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think she would do really well, and I think she would shock an awful lot of people. For example, you've got to have a little stubbornness. to get into politics and to hang in there, as you can see right now on the national level. I was told in the interview that Gladys walked down the middle of the street when she wanted to go somewhere in Huron, and you just drove around her. And, you know, I think it was that everyone was afraid to ever tell Gladys, you don't walk in the middle of the street for fear that she might do something on a national level that would shame you and the whole city of Huron.
And she lives a very, like you said, you met her when she's 94. She lives until what, Rachel, 1988? Or when did she die?
She lived until 1989,
okay.
March 14th, 1989. She was 98 years old.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the museum, Rachel, and how folks can visit it, what they can expect in Huron.
Well, our museum is a Queen Anne Victorian historic house dedicated to the Pyle family. We tell the story of the Pyles, both Gladys and Mamie, and we also bring in the other family members. We are open, preferably by appointment, and people can get a hold of me to get a tour at 605-520-4489 or call the Pyle House number in the book, and that works out too. We just love to have people in and to tell this story that's still writing itself.
All right, Chuck, we've got about a minute left. What's ahead for season three of Personalities? What are some of the things we have to look forward to?
Oh, man, we've really got some good stories coming up. And by the way, since I've been with you last, I understand that you've built a new studio in Rapid City. You're building one in Sioux Falls.
It's built. That's where I'm sitting right now.
Are you really?
Yes, sir.
Are you in Sioux Falls?
Yes, yes.
Well, congratulations.
Just stop by and see this lovely new place.
Well, hey, I will. Is that an invitation?
It is an open invitation. We'll sit down and broadcast live with you right here face-to-face. Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh. You know, we've never met.
That's right.
But we're both Marines.
The magic of radio. Both Marine broadcasters and both South Dakotans. Chuck Anderson, thank you so much for being here with us. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Lori.
Rachel Farrell, thank you as well. We really appreciate your time and the work you do there in Huron.
Thank you so much, Lori. I appreciate it.